we go now, baby. We are right back in to the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covered YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. So coming off of a fun day of betting yesterday, 3-1 with my picks on our Before You Bet Thanksgiving special. So going to try to bring that winning energy in to today, where we have an absolute avalanche of picks for you guys. We're covering this Black Friday game, our best bets for Sunday, best bets for the NBA tonight, and Brad Powers will be along as well, adding a few more best bets to his docket and also taking a look at the biggest games of the weekend here in college football. So let's not waste any time. Let's bring in my first guest in his traditional Friday spot, my guy, Ro. And Ro, I got to ask you, you are our resident Detroit Lions fan. I'm sure you were charged up to watch that game yesterday, just like I am charged up to watch the Dolphins today. Just flat out, what an incredible letdown, right?
Yeah. I mean, super disappointing, but we've seen that from a few teams in recent weeks, you know, teams that were kind of riding high. I mean, they had the second best record in the league entering that game. Seemed too good to be true. And this defense has just been terrible pretty much all year. Gotten exposed a lot over the last few weeks, and it just kind of happened again. Offense couldn't really keep up with that. And, you know, that should have been my play. I bet the Lions at -7.5. I should have bet the over in that game because, like I said, this defense is extremely overrated from those first few games early in the season.
Okay, indeed. So let's get right into it. Of course, my Dolphins are playing today here. In about, 3 hours, we're kicking off there at MetLife Stadium in beautiful East Rutherford, New Jersey. So let's get right into that one. My best bet for the first ever Black Friday game. Give me under 40.5 for this one. So we've seen the Dolphins' offense struggle to get going against teams that have a strong pass rush. They only scored 14 against the Chiefs. They only scored 17 against the Eagles. They only scored 20. Against the Bills, now they'll face the Jets, whose defense leads the NFL in pressure percentage. So watch for Tua to get knocked off his spot. We likely won't see the track meet version of the Dolphins in this game. Also, the Jets are second in the NFL in yards per play allowed at home. That is very impressive when you consider the competition they faced at home. Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, Chargers. On the other side here, Miami's defense is starting to take shape. Do not expect a big day for this guy, Tim Boyle, who's starting at quarterback, the backup to the backup for the Jets. So Miami's defense, they've allowed just 34 points in their last three games. They come in at fifth in pressure percentage this season, too. And that matches up very strongly against a Jets offense that's allowing the second most pressure, the third most sacks. The Jets are the only team in the NFL that is averaging less than one offensive touchdown per game. They rank dead last by a wide margin in both third down and red zone offense. Now you got Tim Boyle expected to save the day against a defense that's starting to peak. Also a trend that I love. 13 of the Jets' last 15 games have failed to cross 40 points. A quick prop that I like for this game too. Breece Hall to go under 50.5 rushing yards. He stayed under this number in five straight games. Dolphins are fifth in yards allowed per rush over their last three games. So I think that number is way too high for Breece Hall. So we'll take him to go under his rushing yard total. Okay, Ro, let's get into Sunday here. And let's start with one of the more interesting games, Jaguars-Texans. What do you like in this one?
You know, this is a showdown between two of the better quarterbacks in the league, Trevor Lawrence and CJ Stroud. So I love the over here. Over 47.5 right now. Both these guys rank in the top 10 among the quarterbacks in offensive grade, according to PFF. Of course, we all know that Stroud has been incredible as a rookie, passing for more than 330 yards in each of his last three games. He did have three interceptions last week, but he had just two interceptions entering that game. So he's due for a bounce back performance here. And you look at the Jaguars, they also play zone at a top five rate. Stroud has been shredding zone defense. You look back at week three when he played against the Jaguars, he had 280 passing yards and a 37-17 win. And neither defense gets much pressure here either. Jaguars are 29th in sack rate. The Texans are 22nd. And both these quarterbacks really thrive when they're kept clean in the pocket and they have room to operate. You look at Trevor Lawrence, he's moving around a lot better lately. He can move around in the pocket now. He can throw on the run. Zay Jones has really helped unlock this offense as well. Jones might not get a whole lot of catches or yards, but he really opens things up for other guys like Calvin Ridley. And, you know, the Jaguars, they kind of fell flat in that letdown spot against the Niners a couple weeks ago. But they've still scored more than 30 points in three of their last five games. And since week five, the Jaguars are actually eighth in dropback EPA, while in that same time span, the Texans are 27th in defensive dropback EPA. So lots of reasons to expect a shootout here and take the over.
Okay, shootout there. I hope to see a shootout in Arizona as well with the Rams in town. Total of 44.5 for this one, and I am going to take the over. I think we got the makings of a fun-looking game here. We've seen a lot of fun games in Arizona, a very high-scoring pattern there this season. All five of the Cardinals' home games have gone over. Average combined score, 52 points in those games. Arizona's defense is getting burnt quite badly at home. Three separate opponents have gotten into the 30s against them. I think this game sets up quite nicely for Matthew Stafford and the Rams' offense. The last respectable performance they had offensively, conveniently enough, it came against the Cardinals. 26 points scored on 6.9 yards per play. Rams are fourth in yards per completion this season. The Cardinals, 29th in opponent completion percentage. They're awful at pressuring opposing quarterbacks. And a stat I like for both defenses, they each struggle on third down. The Cardinals are 31st in opponent third down conversion percentage. The Rams are 22nd. So I think both teams will be able to extend drives, get into the end zone. So give me the over in that one. Ro, you like a side in this one. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I mean, the line is kind of flip-flopped here, so I'm just sticking with the money line, but I like the Rams on the money line here. You know, even with Murray at quarterback, the Cardinals have scored just 41 total points against the Texans and Falcons. He's definitely given them some stability at quarterback, but he's not exactly lighting it up. And this Arizona offense still has a pretty low ceiling because of a lack of quality receivers and poor blocking up front. You mentioned how bad this Cardinals defense is. 27th in EPA, 31st in success rate, 30th in pressure rate. That's going to be a big one in this one because we know that Stafford is a very, very good quarterback when he is kept clean in the pocket. He's fifth in the NFL in passing grade when he's kept clean in the pocket. That's obviously a huge drop off when he's pressured. But if he's not pressured in this one, I think he's going to be able to pick his spots. It's possible that Cooper Kupp might not play. He was limited in practice, yesterday. But they also didn't have Kupp for four games at the start of the year, and their offense didn't miss a beat. Puka Nacua, he really blossomed as their number one receiver. He's on track to play. He's a little banged up as well. And then you've got running back Kyren Williams, who's going to be back as well. I mean, Williams was really hitting his stride before he injured his ankle back in week six. He actually had 158 yards in that week six performance. And it just happened to be in that game against Arizona where the Rams won 26-9. And that kind of brings me to the big reason why I like the Rams in this spot. Sean McVay just owns the Cardinals since he's taken over here. The Rams are 12-2 straight up and 11-2-1 against the spread against Arizona since 2017. So give me the Rams to win here.
Yeah, I'm sure they look forward to seeing the Cardinals on their schedule twice a year, every season. Okay, let's move into the game down in Las Vegas. I just found out Ro will be in attendance for Chiefs Raiders. And no offense, Ro, but I hope the second half is a defensive struggle, a boring defensive struggle, because I am taking the second half under 20.5 points coming in at even money. We played this last week on Monday Night Football. We'll play it again here because these teams are a combined 19-2 to the second half under this season. Most notably, Kansas City is a perfect 10-0 to the second half under, thanks to ranking a shocking dead last in second half scoring, 5.3 points per game in the second half. Their second halves are averaging just 14.1 combined points. The Chiefs offense has actually been shut out in three straight second halves. Now, to be realistic, I don't think that will happen in this game, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Raiders offense got shut out in the second half, because the strength of the Kansas City Chiefs this season is their defense. Fifth in yards per play allowed. Raiders offense 27th in yards per play. I think the good vibes are starting to wear off a little bit there for Las Vegas. So I'll take the second half under in that one. Ro, let us take a trip to Prop City. You're looking at Michael Pittman here. What do you got for him?
Yeah, I love the over 69.5 receiving yards against the Bucs. You know, the Colts offense has been, you know, kind of subpar over the last few weeks. Gardner Minshew hasn't looked great, but a lot of that has had to do due to game script. And, you know, Shane Steichen does a good job of taking what the defense gives him. And this Buccaneers defense has been getting burned through the air. Second last in the league in passing yards allowed per game, 25th in dropback EPA. And you look at Pittman, he's definitely the number one wideout with the Colts. More than 80 receiving yards in three of his last five games. And you look at the two games where he went below that number. He still had 8 catches against the Panthers. He had 13 targets against the Saints. So he's still seeing a high volume of looks and targets, even in the games where he goes below his receiving yards numbers. He's getting a pretty decent number here, 69.5, against a Bucs team that has just been terrible against wide receivers. They've allowed 7 different wide receivers this year to eclipse the 100-yard mark, including last week. They're also a little bit banged up at cornerback right now as well. So lots of reasons to like the Pittman over here.
Okay, let us keep rolling here into Prop City. My favorite prop of the weekend, I'm going to take Browns tight end David Njoku to go over his receiving yard total of 38.5 receiving yards. So Denver is the worst team in the NFL against tight ends. They're allowing an average of 72.2 yards per game to tight ends. He has topped this number in 4 of his last 5 games for an average of 52 or 54.2 yards. And DTR starting at quarterback for the 3rd time this season, 2nd game in a row. And Njoku is his favorite target. He has 22 targets in 2 games with DTR at quarterback. This includes 15 last week against the Steelers, 7 or more targets in 5 of his last 7 games, regardless of who the quarterback is. So I think he'll be a big part of their offensive game plan down in Denver. A lot of ugly games this week, and all of a sudden, Steelers versus Bengals, you can add them to that list here. Ugly game, but maybe a beautiful betting opportunity. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers have been winning ugly most of the year. This is another good opportunity for them to do just that. It's a really nice spot for them with Jake Browning coming in at quarterback. Joe Burrow's done for the year. That's a real kick to the nuts for the Bengals. I mean, they've really, really needed him to carry that franchise out of mediocrity. And, you know, Browning's going to be their quarterback. This was a guy who was really good in college, but I mean, there's a reason he went undrafted. He's kind of been bouncing around the practice squad for the last few years, ended up winning the backup job with the Bengals, you know, this year. But, you know, didn't really look great when he came on in relief last week. He did lead them to a field goal drive just after halftime. He also led them to a touchdown drive at the end of the game, but that was kind of a garbage time. You look at the other 4 drives he had, 3 and outs, and another drive which went just 22 yards before punting. So, you know, Browning's not a guy that's going to help this offense move, especially since they're likely going to be without T. Higgins, and he's, you know, behind a line that ranks 26th in the league in pass blocking grade. So, bad news for Browning. He's taken on a Steelers defense that is pretty good, 9th in the league in EPA, top 10 in pressure rate. So it's going to be tough for the Bengals to move the ball here. And on the other side of the ball, the Bengals defense might be one of the worst in the league. I don't know if enough people are talking about this. I mean, 25th in EPA, 30th in success rate. I've gotten, you know, just gashed against the run. And, you know, the Steelers offense has been pretty terrible, but I think firing Matt Canada will only help. And there's 2 things they have been doing well. They've been limiting turnovers, and they've been running the ball really well. So I think they're able to win in ugly fashion here. I also like, you know, looking at Jaylen Warren for his rushing yards number. It's at 47.5 right now. Like I said, this Bengals defense allowing the 2nd most rushing yards, 2nd most yards per carry as well. And Warren's really taken off ever since being named that starting running back.
Yeah, no one wins uglier better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, let me bring it home with the final pick for the NFL section here of the program. DeAndre Swift, big game at home against the Bills. I like him to go over his receiving yard total of 15.5. So the Bills are getting chewed up by running backs in the pass game. They're allowing 49.5 yards per game to running backs. That's one of the worst marks in the NFL. He has easily topped this in 5 of his last 7 games for an average of 26.1 yards. And he's very efficient in the pass game as well. He has caught 28 of 31 targets since week 4. So when they throw to him, he usually catches the ball and gets a couple of yards out of it. Okay, bro, we're going to leave it at that, but I hope you have an absolute blast in Las Vegas. I hope you win your picks, unless you're fading that second half under pick there. Hopefully you are tailing and you can watch the defensive struggle live. But thanks again for joining us. Best of luck with everything, and we'll catch you again next week.
Thanks for having me on, Joe. Best of luck.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, very quickly in the chat, Adam Rockwell chiming in. He likes Baltimore in the first half, -2.5. And Adam, I like that bet quite a bit as well. Ravens are 9-2 against spread in the first half this season. 5-0 on the first half on the road. And they're only allowing 5.8 first half points per game. The Chargers, 29th in first half points allowed. So a real defensive mismatch there. So yeah, I do like the Ravens to be up by at least a field goal at halftime. Okay, rolling right into college football. Let's go to our guy down in Las Vegas. A lot of Las Vegas talk on the show today. Brad, how are we making out today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me as always.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we got a lot to discuss here, so no beating around the bush. 5 total picks to discuss. If you missed Brad's appearance earlier in the week, on Monday, he gave out LSU -10.5, Arizona State +11.5, and West Virginia -6.5. If you want to catch his analysis for those games, you can find that video up here on the Covers YouTube channel. Okay, so Brad, let's add a couple best bets to those ones, and we'll take a look at some of the bigger games here of the weekend. Let's start Washington State and Washington, a pretty big spread, 16 points favoring Washington. Who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, big rivalry game. Obviously, Washington's unbeaten, playing with unbeaten pressure. And what I don't like is Washington's inability to get margin. So let's take Washington State here, plus the big number. Washington has won 7 consecutive games by 10 points or less. On the other side, Washington State, it's not often that you get a 16-point underdog that has a significant advantage on one side of the football, that being Washington State's high-powered offense against a questionable Washington defense. So I expect an A-plus effort out of Washington State here. And when they do play their A-game, this is a borderline top 25 team. We saw it with their 4-0 start. We saw it when they hammered Colorado last week at home there by 40 points. So I think Washington State's A-game will keep this one tight against Washington.
Okay, next up, it's not exactly Michigan-Ohio State, which we'll get to shortly, but Coastal Carolina and James Madison. We have a 9-point spread. And this one, and as we often say, sometimes these under-the-radar games have the best betting opportunities. So what do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing against kind of a bubble burst situation here. So James Madison's unbeaten. They have College Game Day last week. And what happens is they end up losing in overtime to App State. I don't know how much more there is to play for them other than pride. They're not going to the conference championship game because it's only their second year and because of some stupid NCAA rules. They might not go to a bowl game here. So I just think after their unbeaten season came to an end last week, I question their motivation. On the other side, I don't question Coastal's motivation, because if they win this game, they are in the Sun Belt Championship game. And they've been one of the best home, they have one of the better home field advantages, at least from record wise, in the entire country the last 3-4 years. So let's take Coastal here plus the big number plus 9.
Okay, next up, let's get into Ball State. Miami, Ohio, Ball State is a +5 underdog. What do you think for this one?
Yeah, another matchup that I'm sure you're going to be watching, Joe, and everybody watching right now is going to be finally tuned in. But even if you're not watching, let's see if we can catch a ticket. And it's another motivational issue that I see here, and that's Miami, Ohio has the Big Mac championship game on deck. And they're playing against a Ball State team playing their best football this season. Ball State's covered 5 in a row. In fact, if you go to the last 6 games of the season, Ball State is number 1 in the country in total defense the last 6 games. So anytime you got a really good defense, catching points at home, when the favorite has questionable motivation for margin, let's take Ball State here, sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
Okay, let's get into the big games now. No game is bigger, of course. Michigan, Ohio State, you have a play on the total of 47. What do you think?
Yeah, believe it or not, I mean, it's been a higher scoring series, 9 straight to the over. But this year, I'm not using the Duke factor. I'm going under because I think there's fundamental changes with both teams. Let's talk on the Ohio State side. This is their best defense in 4 years. And it's clearly easily their best defense in 4 years. And they've shown it all year on the defense side of the ball in year 2 under Jim Knowles' system. Offensively, though, it's their worst offense in several years. In fact, probably a decade. I'm not buying Kyle McCord, especially on the road against a really good defense in Michigan. And speaking of Michigan, they're banged up on offense, and they've gone super conservative play calling without Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. Very run heavy, Why? Because their tackles are both banged up, so they've been questionable pass protection here the last couple weeks. J.J. McCarthy's not 100%, so I think everything lines up to break that streak in this series. Let's go under 47 here.
Okay, let us bring it home here for the college football section of the show. Alabama taking on Auburn, big rivalry. Alabama, fairly big favorite, I guess. 13 points, what do you think?
Yeah, a lot of money in the last 24 hours. Not on Alabama, in fact, on the underdog. I get it. It's a buy-low situation with the Auburn off a loss last week. We had Auburn last week. So maybe call me square here that I'm overreacting to that loss. But why wouldn't you overreact to that loss a little bit? I mean, they were a 25-point favorite and lost the game by 21. I know I'm going to get an A-plus effort out of Auburn here. I don't think it's enough. I think Alabama's ascending and playing their best football of the season. I think Alabama clearly is one of the top 3-4 teams in the country. And I'll thank you. I mean, it was 14.5 24 hours ago. I'll play it at the lowest price it's been all week. I'm laying the 13 with the Crimson Tide.
Okay, there we go. Alabama. Okay, Brad, in and out, just like that. We thank you again for joining us. Best of luck with those bets. Enjoy the games, and we will catch you again on Monday.
Take care, guys.
Yes, sir, the man. Very efficient stuff here on the Friday program. That's what we do as we roll into our NBA section. Let's bring in the second half of the Sweet Boys, John Mettler. Now, John, unfortunately, we couldn't live up to our nickname on your last appearance on Monday's show. We only went 4-1. So we'll try to make right on the nickname and try to live up to that here tonight. So we do have four total picks, but I want to kick around a little something here with you first. So each team in the NBA right around the 15-game mark of the season. A few surprises so far. Not so much in the Eastern Conference, aside from your Orlando Magic, by the way, second place in the Eastern Conference. A couple teams, you know, some inconsistency out of the Cavaliers. They look like they're getting things back on track a little bit. No one is shocked that the Wizards suck. I'm kind of surprised that the Pistons are this bad.
Me too.
I think they got off.
I bet they're over on the win total, so I'm in trouble there.
Yeah, but we look at the Western Conference and some shocking results so far. So at the top of the conference, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Fantastic start, 11-3. OKC, maybe this is the year where they start to really take off. They're off to a great start, 11-4. The Houston Rockets have a winning record. They've looked fantastic. But then at the bottom of the conference, a team that I thought was going in the right direction, the Utah Jazz, they've stunk, 4-11. And the Memphis Grizzlies are really, really bad, 3-11. A lot of people maybe would have predicted that with Ja Morant being suspended for 25 games. But if you dig into it, they were pretty good with him out of the lineup each of the past two seasons previous to this year. So taking a look at those teams in the West, do you think that there's any of them that will change course for the better or for the worse?
I think I'll go with a fade first because I feel pretty confident about this one. I think the Dallas Mavericks will fall back in the standings. They're 10-5 right now. Just any team that is going to try to do with offense instead of defense for 82 games, that's not something I personally prefer. There's so many good teams in the West. There's legitimately like 11 teams competing for those 10 spots, including the play-in tournament. I just think the Mavericks, they've had a pretty easy schedule too. And like Kyrie and Luka have both been playing. I think they've each missed maybe a couple games, but for the most part, they've been healthy in there. So if one of them goes down, that changes that team dramatically. In terms of a team coming up, you're not going to like it. I think we got to give them credit because we trashed them after the trade, but I actually like what they're doing now. I think the Clippers come up. I think they'll be a top six seed easily. The switch from, it wasn't even just Russ going to the bench. It's now they're running Harden, like almost the way they're subbing. It's like Harden's paired with Kawhi and Russ is paired with George. That makes way more sense than what they're doing before. It's like Russ can set up George, Harden can set up Kawhi, and then we're kind of working all our other pieces in from there. It didn't make sense when the four of them were playing together. Another team to watch out for, kind of the Kings. I think the Kings we assumed last year was just kind of not fake, but like they won't be as good. They're right there again. They're in the sixth seed right now. They're 8-6. They've also talked about their front office that they're going to go get whoever they want at the trade deadline. They're not going to be shy about it. So, I mean, you have to factor that in when if a team is saying like we're going to step on it and they're already good. That's definitely something to watch. I will say I'll take one more bet angle, probably going over time here a little bit. With the Thunder, So obviously yesterday something came up with Josh Giddey. We don't really know much about the situation. The Thunder really haven't released a statement or anything. If Josh Giddey is released, cut, something big, if something dramatic happens, I'm actually going to be more interested in betting on the Thunder, which I think will not be the take of a lot of people. The Thunder have all those draft picks, but when you look at the roster, there's always kind of that angle of like, who are they replacing? Like, they had five guys in the starting lineup that, like, who are you using those picks to upgrade? So if Giddey leaves, it kind of opens the door to like, we're good. We have this strong core and we have all these draft picks, and there's kind of a spot in our starting lineup where we could go get someone and slide them in. I think like I'll kind of use that negative reaction of they lose Giddey in the odds and kind of bet on it. But we don't know. We don't know. We don't know much with that situation yet. So
yeah, that's kind of messed up. I don't agree. I don't disagree with your thoughts on the Clippers, by the way. Obviously, yes, I do like to make fun of them and James Harden and all the load management horseshit. But yeah, it's real. It's, you got to be realistic. That was going to take a little bit of time to get going. Russell Westbrook, very unselfishly volunteering, coming out saying, I want to go to the bench for the betterment of the team. I think that's a good locker room and team environment type of move by him. So, very interesting season here so far in the NBA. So let's get into it here. One of the interesting things that's going to happen is Zach LaVine's probably going to get traded. It'll be interesting to see which team he gets traded to. I'm going to be fading his Chicago Bulls in the first quarter versus the Toronto Raptors tonight in Toronto. I like the Raptors to cover that first quarter spread -2. So the Bulls are getting absolutely destroyed in the first quarter. They are dead last in first quarter point margin this season. They've been especially bad lately in the first quarter with a point margin of -7.4 in their last five games. They've been especially bad on the road to start these games. They're averaging a league low 21.7 first quarter points on the road. That's hard to do in today's NBA. They were 1-5 ATS in the first Q on the road, by the way. Raptors playing at home here, where they are much better, specifically on the defensive end, where they're allowing around 8.5 fewer points per game compared to on the road. So I do expect that defense to take advantage of a Chicago offense that's just getting off to awful starts. So hopefully no DeMar DeRozan revenge game in this one. Okay, moving into John, your first prop play. What are we looking at, John?
Yeah, I'm going with Fred VanVleet over 16.5 points. I'm at -104 at FanDuel this morning. So a couple of things from like the basketball side of things for VanVleet tonight. So the Rockets played the Nuggets, I think about 2 weeks ago. And it was very clear, if you go watch the film, that Ime Udoka, he's going to make Nikola Jokic work on defense. He's going to put him in as many pick and rolls as possible. It didn't even really matter who the screener was. If they're going to put Jokic on someone who's not their primary screener, he's still setting that guy up. He wants Jokic to have to guard the pick and roll on defense. And Jokic was playing that with a deep drop. So he kept dropping back like really deep. And then Fred VanVleet, it was opening up mid-range jumpers the whole game for him. So when you combine that with the Nuggets, also, this is an in-season tournament game. The Nuggets have to win. They're up against it if they don't win this game. But the flip side of that is the Rockets can also win their group here. So it's kind of a battle both ways. So to think the Rockets aren't going to be all in on this, like obviously they want to win this group. They're trying to change the culture, change the expectations. Fred VanVleet has also been playing a lot of minutes. I think he's played over 40 minutes in like three games recently. Like, that's a lot of minutes early in the season. And the Rockets are off until Tuesday. So when you're talking about like the stakes with the point differential, winning the group, playing the defending champions at home, all these different things, I would be shocked if VanVleet's not going for 40 minutes tonight. Then also his point total. So if you're thinking of the number, his point total has dropped from 18.5 to 16.5. I think he's had three straight unders here on his points prop. So when you kind of combine all the, you know, we expect a couple more shots because if Jokic is always dropping back, it's going to open up the mid-range game for him. We're expecting high minutes because of the circumstance of in-season tournament and there's no back-to-back for them tomorrow or anything like that. And then the total is down 2 points for him. It's 18.5 down to 16.5. Combine all that. It screams Fred VanVleet over to me.
FVV. Okay, yes. Let's hope he goes over. Okay, my final pick for the show today, it's a first half play on the Phoenix Suns. They were in Memphis taking on the Grizzlies. We'll take the Suns to cover the first half spread -4.5. So Memphis is awful in the first half. They are dead last in first half point margin. -8.5 in the first half for them. They are 1-5 ATS at home in the first half this season. They are 30th And first half opponent EFG shooting percentage, the Suns are 6. So a strong defense to open games for Phoenix this season. Of course, Devin Booker back in the lineup, and the Suns are getting off to great starts with him back in that lineup. He's played 5 straight. And Phoenix isn't messing around early on in these games. They haven't been outscoring the first half of any of these games. 2 separate games where they've had halftime leads of 16 and 22 points. They are 4th and first half EFG shooting percentage in these games. So going up against that awful defense of the Grizzlies and just a massive offensive advantage overall over the course of the season. This is 6th versus 29th. And first half EFG shooting percentage. And of course, Phoenix has had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup all season. So I like them to get off to a good start. Okay, John, bring it home. Your final pick of the show. What do we got here?
Yeah, ironically, we just made fun of him on Monday. And at the second I did that Monday, I was like, this is going to be awful because I know I'm probably going to have a bet on him soon. It's Andrew Wiggins over 13.5 points. And I got it even money. So for Wiggins, they're playing the Spurs tonight on Wednesday. I played James Harden over assists against the Spurs. So the thing with the Spurs is their defense at the point of attack is really bad. They can take away one player. They can't take away two. So for the Clippers, it was, you know, the best defense is going to Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden just getting wherever he wants to on the court. Why that's relative to Andrew Wiggins and the Warriors is they have 2 ball handlers, right? Stephen Curry, Chris Paul. So if they are going to try to take away Stephen Curry. That leaves Chris Paul. He'll be able to get to wherever spots he wants on the floor. When he gets in the lane, you know, it's Wembanyama, other players, he's going to be kicking out Wiggins. I think Wiggins ends up being that guy who ends up getting a bunch of shots because of it. The other thing too with Wiggins, the Warriors, I mean, they're 7-9. They got to get this guy going. And like, if there's a game to do it, it's this game against the Spurs. Like they can't win or even maybe make the playoffs if Wiggins keeps playing like this. And good point guards, and they have 2 veteran point guards. Good point guards know when they need to get certain player shots. And I think, you know, Curry and Paul, they're probably talking about that. Like, we need to get Wiggins going. And this is also, you know, Wembanyama, they always put him on like a, they don't put him on the center. They put him on like a forward or someone, and they try to use him as a help defender. So the counter to that is always leaving someone, you got to leave a shooter. And that's, in their preseason game, he was guarding Wiggins, and it'll probably be the same tonight. So that, I think that increases Wiggins' minutes because they can use Wiggins' size on defense, but they can also still keep Wembanyama stretched out of the paint with Wiggins. So I think it kind of helps Wiggins' minutes stay secure. Same thing, the Warriors are off till Tuesday too, and this is a big point differential game for them too. So even if they do get up by a wide margin, I'd expect like Wiggins and Curry, these guys, to keep playing. So because the Warriors are still alive too in this in-season tournament, but they're going to need the point differential.
Speaking of the Spurs, John, what did you make of Greg Popovich hopping on the microphone in the middle of the game and asking the home crowd fans to stop booing?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I thought it was complete and utter bullshit. When I first saw it, yeah. It came out on social media. My first thought was, oh, that's kind of classy. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. What the hell is going on here? It would be different if the fans were shouting obscenities, F you right. Clippers or F you Kawhi, something. You see that from time to time. And I would understand, like, okay, there's kids there in attendance and stuff like that. And that's not very classy. But booing at a sports game has been a part of going to a sports game since people have been going to sports games. And I could understand why they would want to boo Kawhi, you know, he didn't leave the team under the best terms. Some people defending it saying, well, he won them a championship, so they should leave him alone type of thing. I thought, I really, really did not like that Popovich, who's, I think he comes off as a hypocrite too, because it's not a classy thing to do. He says, this guy is a guy who treats reporters like crap. And now he's talking down to the hometown crowd that partially pays his salary, paying hundreds of dollars. To get in, I didn't like it at all.
The timing was really awkward because the same thing I saw, like I got a Woj notification saying, and then it was the tweet. It was talking about how Popovich did that. And I was like, oh, and then I saw the video and I was like, the time I could see like maybe at halftime, like you're walking to everyone's walking the tunnels and you get on the mic and you're like, hey, I'd appreciate if nobody boos Kawhi Leonard. He won a championship here, maybe something like that. But like, he also like basically stopped the game. Like Leonard was lining up for a second free throw and you get on the mic and kind of stop the game and be like, hey, stop booing it. It was really weird, really strange. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, some people like defending it saying, well, Popovich is entitled to his opinion. 100% he is. And I wouldn't have an issue if he came out after the game in the press conference and said, you know, I really didn't like that the fans are booing this guy. You know, he came here and he he won a championship and blah, 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 blah. But getting on the PA microphone and addressing the crowd in the middle of a game, Popovich is getting a little old. He's going down the same road as Bill Belichick, I think, here. Won't be around too much longer, I don't think. So, John, we will leave it at that. We'll see if the Sweet Boys can live up to our nickname that everyone is losing their minds about here. So hopefully we can go 4-0 with these picks here tonight. Thanks again for joining us, and we will catch you again on Monday.
Right. If we get the sweep, I think we need shirts.
Talk yes. To oh, yeah. Covers will make us up some Monday. Shirts for sure. Yeah. Sweet All boys. Right. Yes, sir. Good luck, John. Take her easy. A couple people in the chat weighing in. P. Bostona says, love the show. Smash the subscribe button. We encourage you guys to do the same thing. If you like the show, if you like the content we do here at Covers, make sure you are subscribed. It makes our content much easier to find. He says he likes the Patriots, Belichick, who I just insulted, 22-6 against rookies. Yeah, I don't know how the Patriots can be a 3.5-point favorite on the road. I am seeing a lot of people pick them, though. I'm going to stay away from that game. He also asked if there's any trends that I like between the Knicks and the Heat. Not really. I was thinking Heat first quarter right off the bat, but then I dug into it, and the Knicks are good in the first quarter as well, so I'll stay away from that one. And Adam Rockwell loves the show. Thanks, Joe. Good luck on the bets, and good luck to my Dolphins. I think we could be in for a boring game, as you guys know. I took the under. I don't know if we have graphics made up, Mick. No, I'm guessing we don't have the recap graphics. Mick, a busy guy, a very busy week here for all of us here at Cover. So shout out to Mick and all the other guys behind the scenes making our work look pretty. And big shout out to all the viewers as well. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. We still got a long way to go here. We're just past the halfway mark of the NFL season. Big day today, Black Friday. Big weekend of college football and NFL action. So like I say, make sure you are subscribed to this channel. If there's a game you're wondering about that we did not cover on the show today, we will have a video, or we do have a video for that game up on the Covers YouTube channel right now. So make sure you check that out. Okay. Dolphins Jets kicking off here in about 2.5 hours. So I got to go. I still have some work to do before I am done for the weekend. So thank you guys very much for tuning in. Best of luck with all your bets, and we will catch you again on Monday. Yeah!